like. We sang it in the past, and we were asked to sing it again. So we're going to do our best, and it will be for the Lord. So.
Exchange it someday for a crown.
special. I was talking to my brother Frank earlier, just after he arrived, and he said that his sermon was going to be fairly short this evening. And I was glad to hear that. And, you know, normally when we allot time for sermons, we normally allot an hour for sermons. Well, our brother Gordon this afternoon took an hour and 40 minutes, which is fine. We understand. He just returned from Africa. That's quite acceptable. But we have two sermons today, and the first one was an hour and 40 minutes. And when we have 1 hour per sermon, that leaves 20 minutes for the second sermon. And it's 13 after now. So my calculations is, Frank, you have about 7 minutes. Seriously, over the last few years, I've had opportunity to stay with my brother several times, and he's stayed in my home, and I've got to know him much better over those years and grown to have a great deal of love for him. And to know that he has that desire in his heart to serve God. And I know that he has prepared a message for us this evening. And I would ask that each one of you would open your hearts and your minds to the words that he has for us tonight. And I now ask for your careful and your prayerful attention for our brother Frank Fan.
Thank you, Brother Dwayne. I'm glad to be here with you tonight, to see all your smiling faces. You are smiling. Thank you. Those of you who know me know that I am blessed. And do I want to say that? I better be careful how I say this. That I am blessed with 4 sister-in-laws. Yeah. But I came on the scene when they were so young that they don't think of me as a brother-in-law. They think of me as a brother. And so, they think it is their sisterly duty to keep me on the straight and narrow. So, along these lines, I received an email from one of my sister-in-laws that said, a perfect sermon is one who has a good opening, a clear, concise ending, and a short space in between. So that's why I told my brother, I'm going to listen to my sister-in-law, who is trying to keep me on the straight and narrow, trying to help me out in all the ways that she can. Let's go to 1 Peter. The 3rd chapter. Starting with the 12th verse. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. And who is he that will harm you if ye be followers of that which is good? But if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. But sanctify the Lord God in your heart, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh of you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Question. Do you have a hope in you? And is there a reason for that hope? And can we learn to hope? You know, I ask these same questions to our brothers and sisters in the Philippines my last trip. And I was amazed at the answer I got. They said, yes, we have a reason for our hope. And I said, give me one. Give me a reason that you hope for. And they said, well, Brother Fink, 4 years ago, you and Brother Mike blessed our baby. And that baby has lived in this village, and the babies around it died, and the babies around it got diseases, were sick. The babies around them received tumors. Our baby has been perfect. That was a reason that they gave me for the hope that was in them. And you know, you and I have reasons to hope. And you and I can learn each day to hope. When I went to the Philippines this time, I was sick. I was sick on the plane going over. I was sick every minute I was there. I was sick coming home. I was sick after I got home. The last Sunday, I was to preach at Panabo, our headquarters in the Philippines. And it had been a rough trip on me. And I stood behind, and by the way, our headquarters at Panabo, the church part of it, used to be open along the sides and in the back, and there was a nice breeze that would come through, and you could stand it. But Brother and Sister Prudencio came to the United States. And what did they see? Churches all closed in, all covered up, and so they closed in their church. You cannot breathe in that church. The sweat was running off of me. And I was preaching. And I thought, you know, I'm doing a pretty good job here today. And the first thing I know, my knees started getting weak. And I know my voice started to fade. I could feel myself going, and oh, Lord, don't let me pass out here on the pulpit. And the Lord gave me strength. So I learned through answered prayer that I can learn hope. I have something to hope for. I know that if I'm in trouble, I know that if I'm hurting, I know that if I'm getting weak in the knees, or I'm about to pass out behind the pulpit, I can call on the Lord and I have hope that He will answer. I have hope that I'll be able to survive. Romans, 5th chapter. Romans, 5th chapter, 1 through 5. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulations worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. You know, we're told here that we're justified by faith. And that by that faith, we have access to hope and access to grace. And we know that tribulations worketh patience. And patience experience, and experience hope. So can we learn to hope? Is that possible in our experience today, to learn to hope? You know, we learn through our trials and our tribulations. And each one that we overcome, each answered prayer, each tribulation that we can put behind us gives us more hope. There's a lot of trials in the Philippines. We face them every day. And through those trials and through those tribulations, we are learning hope. Our brother Mike and sister Pat went to another village to conduct a Sunday service. And Carol and I was in our headquarters of Panabo City. And they should be back about 2 o'clock in the afternoon. And 2 o'clock came. 3 o'clock came. 4 o'clock came. It gets dark in the Philippines at 5 o'clock. 5 o'clock came, started getting dark. We didn't know what happened to Pat and Mike. So, we said to Sister Lolita, we think we'll get a cab and take it back to our hotel in Davao City. And there was Sister Lolita and our cook, Sister Magdalena. Remember Sister Magdalena, Jay? Sister Magdalena, two or three other sisters, a couple of the brothers, all sitting around visiting and talking after the service. And we said, we're going to go get a cab and go back to our hotel. And we'll wait for Pat and Mike there. We don't know what happened. They may be all night. You should have heard the crying. You should have seen the tears in their eyes. I said, what's wrong? I just said I was going to get a cab. He said, you and your wife will not reach the hotel alive if you take a cab after dark. Trials, tribulations, dangers. It's a learning process to hope, to rely on prayer, to rely on your brother and sister who is to keep you safe from harm and danger. 1 Corinthians 13:11. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. You know, the youth possess amazing energies. It's marvelous, the energies that the youth have, and their recklessness and their daring that we don't have. We mature, we grow, and our childish thoughts and our childish ways are put behind us, we hope. It's going down a jungle trail. We come to this large ravine, and across it was two bamboo poles about yay big, laying side by side. Round, full. The young kids, They jumped on them poles and across they went. And here comes the old man. And I look at it. And I look at it. And I could imagine him turning. I could imagine me slipping and going into the ravine. You know, maturity. Maturity. When I was young, I thought as a child. But when I become old, childish things are put behind. Oh, I went across that. But there was one young Filipino behind me and one young Filipino ahead of me, and I was holding on. Our wives did much better than I did. You know, it's nice to have a youthful mind, though. One that flits from one thing to the other and can't really concentrate on anything. But those useful minds are going to grow. And they're going to become the leaders of the Church of Christ. And they're going to mature, because that is the will and the plan of our Heavenly Father. You know, His plan is for all living things. He has a plan for all living things. A plant, a tree, an herb. Their purpose is to mature, to give seed, and to die. But God has a little different plan for you and I. He gives you and I a time to prepare for eternal life. A time to reflect. A time to look at our lives in a mature way and say, what have we done or what have we not done to qualify ourselves for eternal life? What is it in my life that I need to put away? Or what is it that I need to bring into my life to make me acceptable to our Heavenly Father? To be able to stand before His judgment bar and hear, "Well done, O good and faithful servant." First Corinthians 2:14 says that the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. We're here to prepare ourselves to receive that Spirit of God. That's what we call spiritual growth. You know, brothers and sisters, if we're not moving forward, if we're not becoming more spiritual daily, we're going backwards. It's not in mankind to stand still. We're moving one way or the other. So, what do we want? We want to move upward. We want to become a more spiritual people. For they are foolishness unto Him. Right? The natural man looks at the things of God and thinks they're foolish. The natural man looks at the Church of Christ and says, it's just another church. I mean, sure, you say it was restored in 1830. Sure, you say there was an apostasy. But the natural man, not taken with the Spirit of God, thinks that's foolishness. And I know that you've all come in contact with such ones as that. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. So how do you and I know that there was an apostasy? How do you and I know that young Joseph Smith had an angel visit him? How do you and I know that this is the true church of Christ. We know because it's spiritually discerned. And how is it spiritually discerned? Because we are touched of the Spirit of God. You and I have been touched by the hand of God and set apart as a people with a mission. Well, do you think that you have a mission? Is your mission to sit in that pew and listen to this preacher preach to you? Or is your mission out in the world telling your friends and your neighbors and those you come in contact with the truthfulness of the gospel of Jesus Christ? Also, they cannot receive the things of God because of wickedness. Wickedness. Brothers and sisters, just because we belong to the Church of Christ, just because we profess to be followers of Christ, does not keep us from wickedness. We each one of us here tonight, can fall into wickedness. And we do from time to time, don't we? Or we might deny it, but we do from time to time fall into wickedness. And it says here that we cannot know the things of God if we're wicked. So it behooves us to live a Christ-like life. It behooves us to do the things that God wants us to do, to be able to receive those spiritual things of God that we stand in need of. Yeah, we stand in need. Oh, we're well off here, aren't we? You know, we're sitting in a nice, comfortable pew. Fans are moving the air around us. If it gets cold, the heat comes on. If it gets hot, the air conditioner comes on. We're going to have a fine meal in a few minutes. We have it made. But because we have it made, because we have it so easy, we tend to do those things that are wicked. We tend to forget on what we rely on. We tend to forget the spiritual things of God. In the Book of Mormon, this is in the Book of Mosiah, chapter 1, verses 119 and 120. For the natural man is an enemy of God, and has been from the fall of Adam, and will be forever and ever. But if he yields to the enticings of the Holy Spirit, he's giving us a way out. He's giving us natural men a way out. If he yields to the enticings of the Holy Spirit and putteth off the natural man and becometh a saint through the atonement of Christ the Lord and becometh as a child, submissive, meek, humble, patient, full of love, willing to submit to all things which the Lord see fit to inflict upon him, even as a child does submit to his father. Are we at that point today? I see a couple of heads shaking. No, we're not at that point today. Can we get to that point? You bet we can. And that's our goal. That's our goal, to get to that point where we can become true children of God. 2 Nephi 15:9 says that man will not search for knowledge, nor understand great knowledge, even when it is given to them in plainness. We have the Bible. We have the Book of Mormon. We have the Book of Commandments that our brother used this afternoon. We have the plain words of God. I just dropped one of them. But do we understand? They've been preached from the pulpit. We've sat in classes. But do we truly understand the plain words of God? For you and I to have salvation, for you and I to enjoy eternal life, we must understand the plainness of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It says, we not understand great knowledge even when it is given to them in plainness. But 2 Nephi 13:29 says, wherefore ye must press forward with a steadfastness in Christ, having a perfect brightness of hope and a love of God and of all men. And I see this. I see this brightness of hope. I see it in the Philippines. When Brother Jay and I first went over there, it was terrible. The people that we came in contact with were as poor, as run down, as ragged, as hopeless as you can imagine. Today we go over and we see our people smiling, happy, healthier, more satisfied with life, able to give that hope that I was talking about earlier, able to tell me we have a hope in Jesus Christ. And I see it here. I see it in the United States. I see your goodness. I see your charity. I see your love for your brothers and sisters. This is the perfect brightness of hope that's talked about here in the Book of Mormon. We have to have that perfect brightness. Our purpose in life? Our purpose in life is to praise God. Our purpose in life is to pursue eternal life. Our purpose in life is to live a Christ-like life. We need to look back on the history of mankind. They progressed as members were willing to work, to sacrifice, to even fight. For their goal of continued improvement. And we must be willing today in the Church of Christ to do the same thing. Sacrifice, to work, and maybe even fight for the continued improvement of the church, the continued improvement of the people, the members especially. We need to improve. We need to bring ourselves up higher than we are today. For what is that prize that we're after? Eternal life. Eternal life. And the only way that we're going to achieve it is through work, sacrifice, and fighting. Fighting the devil. Fighting evil. Fighting those things in the world that are contrary to God's law. Trying to put them out of our lives. The rules have been given. The rules have been given in the Bible and the Book of Mormon, Latter-day Revelations. We have the rules before us. The problem is following those rules. Putting those rules in our lives so that we can please our Heavenly Father. Romans 12:21 says, "Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good." There's a lot of evil in the world today. Everywhere we turn. Whether we look at the newspaper, whether we look at television, whether we listen to the radio, or whether we just interact with our friends, our neighbors, the world, we see evil, don't we? And that evil wants to rub off on you and I. But it is our duty as members of the Church of Christ not to be overcome with that evil, but to overcome evil. To put it out of our lives. Isaiah, first chapter. Starting with 17th verse. Learn to do well. Learn to do well. It says here, you know, we can learn it. It's a teachable thing. Doing well is a teachable thing. Learn to do well. Seek judgment. Relieve the oppressed. Judge the fatherless. Plead for the widow. These are some of the things that you and I need to put in our lives so that we may be qualified. Come now, and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. What a great promise. What a great promise to you and I. Even though we may be sinful, through obedience to Christ, through obedience to the Word, we can become white as snow. We can become clean. If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. But we must be willing and obedient. Does that sound strange to you maybe? That someone wouldn't be willing? The world is full of people who are not willing to hear the truth. The world is full of people who are not willing to do good. The world is full of people that are not willing to love one another. Or to love God. There's terrible people out in the world today. And we run into them all the time. Are we willing in the Church of Christ? Are we willing as members of His kingdom here on earth? Willing and obedient? Do we do the things that God tells us to do? Man, I dare say we do not. I dare say we fall short because we are not willing to be obedient. We're human. We have our own minds. You know, and I know a lot. I know a lot more than Jay. You know? So why should I listen when Jay tries to straighten me out? Oh, why should I listen when my sister-in-laws try to straighten me up? Oh, I better listen to them. I don't have to listen to Jay, but I have to listen to them. But this is the human. The human is proud. The human thinks he knows. The human thinks his mind is so far above. Brothers and sisters, we have to humble ourselves. We have to put ourselves and our lives in a condition that God can mold us and make us the people that He wants us to be. Second Timothy, second chapter, starting with 19th verse. Now I'm going to read the 15th verse. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and vain babbling, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. You know, watch our conversation, for goodness sakes. And I'm probably the worst one. You know, I like to laugh. I like to joke. And there's probably times I should not do that. There are times when I should be serious. And when we're speaking of our soul's eternal salvation, we need to be serious. It's a very serious matter. Skipping on down to 19. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure. Having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His. Oh, isn't that great? Isn't that marvelous that the Lord knows those that are His? Are we on His list? Are we on His list? Can He look down at us, the Church of Christ, and say, "There are my people. There are my servants. There are they who do my will." I pray He can say that. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. That could condemn us. You know, we claim that we name the name of Christ. So there should not be any iniquity among us. If there is, it's condemning us, brothers and sisters. It's condemning us before our Heavenly Father. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and to some honor and some dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Are we allowing ourselves to be prepared by God for that great work that He has for the Church of Christ? You know, we're every day we're going to somewhere new. Every day in the Philippines, we're going to someplace new. I went to missions this trip that I never imagined would happen. Are we preparing ourselves for that great work that God has for His people? Flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strifes. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, But be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. Are we gentle? Are we apt to teach? Are we patient with those that we come in contact with? I hope so. You know, the human mind is capable of learning as long as there's breath within us. You know, I feel like I learn every day. There's lessons to be learned. Lessons in life. Lessons in the Bible. Lessons in the Book of Mormon. Lessons that you and I need to learn. And just because I'm old without any hair doesn't mean that I can't learn. Same with you. You can learn the things of God. You can learn the things that God has for you and I. Matthew 7:11 says, "Ask of him, for he has good gifts for you." Oh, he has great gifts for us. Yeah. He has marvelous healings. He has the gift of joy. We should be the happiest people on the face of the earth. And I believe we are. Because we have the true gospel of Jesus Christ. He gives us protection. I've seen all these. When we was in the Philippines this time, we had got back to the hotel about 4:30 in the afternoon. We tried to get back before dark. But we got back about 4:30. We all went to our rooms, Carol and I and Pat and Mike. Carol and I decided to go downstairs to the little store next door so we could get some water for the next day. And this was about 5 o'clock. And we went in and we got the water and we come back and walk through the lobby. You know, it's about 6-7 minutes after 5. Went upstairs. No more than got upstairs and bang, bang, bang. And we knew it was in the hotel. Now my brave wife ran over and locked the door and put the chain in. And I was right behind her. We knew the shots were in the hotel. And Pat and Mike, they were worried too. Now, seeing that I am the senior one in the Philippine mission, I used my authority. And I says, "Mike, you go find out what happened." Well, about 30 minutes later, he decided he would do that. And he walked down the steps, and right at the bottom of the steps was the body of the guard and of the cook in the hotel. The guard had shot him twice, missed the first time and shot the ceiling. They'd been having a debate, argument for a couple of days. The guard got off about 4 o'clock, went home, started drinking. I guess the more he drank, the braver he got. He got his own gun and came back, and as soon as the cook came out of the room that he was in, he shot him, killed him. But you know, it was bad, and it was frightening to us. It was frightening to us. But the bad thing about it is nobody cared. A little later, after they had taken the body away, I went down to talk to the girls on the desk because I was concerned about them. And, oh, you know, it's life. Somebody got killed. They have a different value of life than you and I. And that bothers me. That bothers me. But God protected us. About 3 minutes later, if Carol and I had been walking through the lobby, we would have been right there. He has protected us. He's protected us so many times in the Philippines. Protected us from harm and danger. Protected us from the rebels. Kept us free from that kind of thing. Alma. Alma, 16. And now, as I said concerning faith, faith is not to have a perfect knowledge of things. Therefore, if ye have faith, ye hope for things which are not seen, which are true. And we haven't seen God, and yet we know He's true. We haven't seen some of His blessings, but yet we know they're there. We must have faith. We must have hope. And now, behold, I say unto you that I would that ye should remember that God is merciful unto all who believe on His name. You know, there's more to belief than just saying He is, isn't there? A belief in God is a total commitment to Him. A total submitting of yourselves to His will. In the 2nd Nephi, 14th chapter, it says to feast on the words of Christ. And if you read the whole 14th chapter, you will see some key words there. You will see the word seek. We need to seek our Heavenly Father with all our heart, mind, and strength. That needs to be our focus. Seeking God. It says ask. We need to ask of Him the things that we need. It says knock. Knock. He will answer. Knock and He will open that door to you and I. It says study. Study. If we don't know what's in the words of God, if we don't know what's in the books, if we don't know what it's telling us, how in the world can we take the gospel of Christ to the world? Let me tell you something. When you go into the world, into a foreign country, you better know what you're talking about. You cannot fool them. So we need to study. We need to learn. Learn of the things that God has for you and I. And then feast on His Word. So, what is a true conversion? What is this thing that we're looking for? What is this hope that we're looking for? What is this spiritual growth that we're looking for? True conversion. A total and complete belief and a total and complete love for Him. If we have that, we'll have a true conversion. Our brother read out of the Book of Commandments, and I had planned on reading just a little further down on page 127. It says, wherefore, be not weary in well-doing, for ye are laying the foundation of a great work. and you and I, the members of Christ's kingdom here on earth, are laying a foundation of a great work. A great work. A worldwide work. And out of small things proceeded that which is great. Behold, the Lord requireth the heart and a willing mind. And the willing and obedient shall eat the good of the land of Zion in the last days. Brothers and sisters, keep growing. Keep the hope. Keep looking up. I'd like to close with almost a little longer than 13 minutes. I'd like to close with a poem by Helen Steiner Rice. It's entitled Faith, Hope, and Love. Faith, hope, and love, more priceless than gold. For if you possess them, you've riches untold. For with faith to believe what your eyes cannot see, and hope to look forward to new joys to be, and love to transform the most commonplace into beauty and kindness and goodness and grace. There's nothing too much to accomplish or do, for with faith, hope, and love to carry you through, your life will be happy and full and complete, for with faith, hope, and love, the bitter turns sweet. For all earthly joys and heaven's joys too belong to God's children who are faithful and true. Thank you very much.